The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Middle of the week, it was 2 weeks ago today when we found out that Texas and Oklahoma could be joining the SEC. We found out officially on Friday. We continue to talk about that story. It's one of the big stories of the day. Many, many guests will be dropping by here, including the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. But let's get to some of these headlines. And it seems like it's everyone against the SEC right now. As yesterday, of course, remember, the Big 12 commissioner and the Pac-12 commissioner met. And now everybody seems to be firing away, including the president at Washington State. When you can't come up with a creative line, just go ahead and attack the SEC. So that's where we are here on a Wednesday. A number of guests will be dropping by as well, and we'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. But it was so interesting. We just saw this headline where the president at Washington State is accusing the SEC of being predatory. Is it predatory when two of the biggest schools in the country call you up and say, hey, we don't like it where we are, we've decided to join your conference if you will have us when we can legally join? But when it's convenient. Last week it was convenient to attack ESPN. This week it's convenient to attack the SEC. Next week, I'm sure the presidents and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 will be attacking mom and apple pie. Let's get to the calls here and continue with what we try to do every day. And Bo starts it off from Oklahoma. Hey, Bo, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Longtime listener and glad my team's finally joining the great conference of the SEC.
Thank you.
I have two quick questions. Are you going to add OU and Texas to your intro song once we join the conference? And do you have any idea or thoughts of how they're going to do an SEC championship if they go to four pods?
Yeah, well, of course, we will change the song the second that we have OU and Texas in the league. I'm sure we'll just redo the whole thing. I've heard a lot of different theories on what's going to happen. In fact, I talked to some people today about that, and this is the best scenario at the moment. The nine games is, I think, will happen. I don't think that's a big surprise. I don't think we'll see divisions. And I know the conversation has been making the rounds about pods. I think we'll see something like that. But in talking to some people, the only way where everyone will see each other on a pretty regular basis is to play a small number of permanent games, permanent opponents. Like if you're Oklahoma, who do you want to be your three permanent opponents? Obviously, you want Texas.
Texas, sure.
And then I'm curious, who would be next on your wish list?
Probably Texas A&M and Missouri. I mean, just to bring back old games from when they were still in the Big 12. Or Alabama, but I'm not a crazy Sooner fan to think that we would beat Alabama all the time.
Well, I think what you have to do realistically, and this goes for every different school, is what's a must game? If it's Oklahoma, you know it's Texas, and if it's Texas, you know it's Oklahoma and probably A&M. But you also can't overload that. So I think some schools are, it's not going to be as clear. I think if you're Florida, you know Georgia's on your schedule, and then you start figuring out the rest of it. If you're Georgia, you know Florida's on the schedule. You also probably know Auburn's on the schedule. That's the South's oldest rivalry. So you start doing deductive logic, but you can't just play everyone. I think it's a matter of attrition. You get three, and then the other six you rotate, which means you would see everyone in pretty short order.
Can I say one more thing before I get off here?
Of course.
Your caller from Texas last week named Will that said the SEC would run through Texas, I have a big feeling that was Will Cain.
I never thought about that, but Will Cain is a Texas graduate.
He is a huge Texas fan.
Yeah, I forgot that. I haven't seen Will in a while since we used to see each other all the time in New York when he was at ESPN.
The day after that was said on your show, his podcast he has now, he said something almost identical to that. So I was like, I bet that was Will Cain on the Paul Feinbaum show.
So. Well, I would not be surprised. Now Will's on Fox and Friends, so I miss seeing him. But hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. So I think that's the best way. I don't think you're going to have a defined look in the SEC. I don't think you're going to see divisions. I don't even these. I think the pods are going to be used for scheduling and nothing else. I think you'll decide the SEC. Combatant a championship game by the teams, just like the Big 12 does it, and others do it. The two best winning percentages, and there'll be tiebreakers and all that. Andre is up next in the ATL. Andre, good afternoon.
Coach Feinbaum, how you doing?
Andre, we are doing great. Thank you.
That's good. Man, I bet when I first heard your show and I was just passing through Birmingham, man, I could have never foretold that you would fly as high as you fly now, Coach. You and Tall Cotton, big money, Coach Feinbaum. You up there with Nick Saban now, Coach?
Well, no, I don't think anyone's up in that. But I appreciate you. I'm just glad that you stuck with us because you know
great,
Andre, a lot of those people that first heard the show, they just haven't adjusted very well as we've expanded a little bit.
Coach, time changes, you got to change with it. Don't nobody want to go back to the outhouse. You know, everybody want a nice air-conditioned bathroom now. Listen, Coach, now, I read the statement from the president of the University of Washington, from Washington State, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, if you were a single man and two beautiful twins named Oklahoma and Texas asked you out, what would you say?
I would say what time?
Right, you ain't gonna say I got a headache. You all go on to the pack or go talk to the Big Ten or go talk to the ACC. I don't have time. You're not gonna do that. You're gonna open your arms up and welcome them in and welcome to the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, I don't really get. I know it makes for cheap headlines. I don't know anything about Washington State. I know it's in Pullman, but that's ridiculous. You're not. They got problems out there. I mean, the Big 12 has problems, and they need to quit throwing stones and find a solution to the fact that they have inferior leagues. And that was before Oklahoma and Texas showed up. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Matt is up next in Texas.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Paul? How are you doing today, my brother?
How are you doing, Matt? I'm worried about you, man.
I'm doing good. You have to worry about me, brother. It's all good.
No, Matt. I mean, you got those Longhorns about to invade the SEC.
Oh, yeah, the Longhorns. I'm not afraid of the Longhorns. They're not going to out-recruit us in recruiting. And I got a recruiting question I want to ask you. I know you don't do that stuff, Paul, but you think we have to be a little bit worried about recruiting? I'm not worried at all, but I don't know what you think.
Well, first of all, Matt, I happen to be very bullish on Texas getting in the SEC. I think it will help them immensely. Now, does that mean that A&M will be hurt? I don't think that one thing has anything to do with the other, but because Texas is such a big state.
I disagree with you 100%. And I got my second question I want to ask you.
Sure.
About the pause thing, how do you think that's going to go with them saying A&M and Texas can be brought back in football? And what do you think about that?
Well, I don't think there's really much. I don't think there's much else you can do. To me, you have to find a way to protect the most important rivalries and embrace the new ones, and then make sure that you're not locked into only playing certain teams and never seeing anybody else. Okay, let me go into what I meant to do this at the beginning of the show. So, the president of Washington State, his name is Kirk Schultz. And this is what he said in an interview yesterday. He said, what the SEC has done is unify the other conferences in a way that nothing else could have in terms of working together. A lot of people now are very concerned about the predatory nature of the SEC. The predatory nature. You're the president of a university, Dr. Schultz. You don't even know what you're talking about. Do you understand the definition of predatory? I mean, you probably wouldn't, being at Washington State, but more presidents are talking. There's a lot of back and forth. So he went on to say, if we add teams just to try to keep up with somebody else, but those teams don't grow our revenue base, do we really need to add them? No, you don't. That's exactly right. I also seem to remember the Pac-12 going after Colorado and Nebraska a couple of years ago. Maybe you're the one who's predatory. How did that work out? Did Colorado and Nebraska help your bottom line significantly? All those televisions sets in Salt Lake and Denver now watching your game. But I really, I need to know more about Kirk Schultz, because the idea that he would accuse the SEC of being predatory. Dr. Schultz, do you remember 10 years ago when your league tried to hijack the Big 12? I mean, that's what's so funny about all this. I realize Texas may have been the instigator, but you were also the receiver. There was nearly a merger 11 years ago between the Pac-12 and the Big 12. Texas A&M, Oklahoma, you guys decided you didn't want Kansas, you didn't really want Baylor. So, I mean, now you're accusing others, and I'll say it for the millionth time, the SEC took a phone call. That's all they did. This is not a shameless defense of the SEC. I'll leave that to others. I'm just spitting out the truth here. Somebody called up the commissioner and said, if Texas and Oklahoma can find a way to come to your league, would you take them? And my guess is the SEC commissioner said, well, as long as we do it within the framework of their bylaws and our bylaws. So I think it's just absolutely ridiculous for the president of Washington State, Alton Pullman. Don't be mad at everybody because you're living in Pullman, Washington, okay? I'm sorry. That's no reason to call anybody else predatory. We'll take a break. More to come at 855-242-7285. That is our number. We'll talk to the athletic director at Arkansas at the bottom of the hour, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back, the athletic director at Arkansas joining us in just a few minutes, Hunter Yerichek. Let's continue with more calls, and Christopher is up next in Alabama.
Paul, I'm just trying to call about your Parkinson's and Alzheimer's you have now, brother. Can you help me understand what's going on?
Don't think I can, Chris. What do you mean?
Well, you said to one of the callers yesterday that you can't remember why me and Mitch came up to your studio, that it went over your mind. You couldn't remember what happened.
Well, I do remember meeting you. I don't remember the specificity of it. Can you enlighten all of us on what had to be a big moment for all of us?
No, I don't care if I go over that. But what I really want to talk about, Paul, is do you know that there was a federal lawsuit that was filed in Alabama where a whistleblower says, and I've signed a sealed affidavit, that 45,000 people died within 3 days of receiving the vaccine. Did you know anything about this, Paul?
It was done in Alabama. The answer is no, Christopher.
Does that not concern you that a lawsuit was filed by the Children's Health Defense?
Well, first of all, Christopher, I'm never really concerned about lawsuits since the majority of them are bogus.
Okay, the majority of them are bogus. Okay.
Yeah, you understand plaintiff attorneys just throwing stuff up against the wall and hoping something sticks. You do understand that concept, don't you? So are you now using a lawsuit as evidence that something is fact, medical science?
No, not at all, Paul. And again, you know the reason why, you said I don't understand this yesterday, but Paul, I have twins, and I understand this very much, sir. And I know, and this is one that you can go look and verify, the U.S. Supreme Court case, Wyatt versus Bushwick's in 2010, said that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, Paul. So you're telling me I'm crazy, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
Christopher, could you help all of us out for a second? And again, you are more than welcome to your view, just as all of us have the right to believe whatever we want. But I think I'm most interested, because I don't want to turn this into a sideshow, without you citing Supreme Court cases and local jurisdiction and all that, can you give us a better understanding of why you are so possessed about this, to such a degree that you've obviously lost your job as a result?
Paul, because the tyranny that's happening in our country right now, all our freedoms are being taken away from us.
No, you're really not answering my question. You're making a speech. I am really interested, Christopher, why you've given up your livelihood, whatever that was, so you can fight this fight. And it's admirable that you care so much about something, but I just don't understand it. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, understand that my whole reason for doing this, Paul, is because, number one, I put God first, and God has been taken away and taken out of everything that we do now. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I do this for the children, Paul, because the children that are being murdered and killed from these vaccines is astronomical. And nobody wants to talk about it, Paul.
And Christopher, do you think a good way of having this conversation is by beginning the conversation by insinuating that the host of the show has Parkinson and Alzheimer's, two very serious and debilitating illnesses?
Well, Paul, I mean, again,
so essentially, you were pretty much laughing at those two illnesses, were you not?
No, I wasn't laughing at them at all. It's very serious, and one out of every one of us now has some form of Parkinson's, and it goes directly.
Yeah, but that's how you started it off, by insinuating, because I didn't remember something, that maybe I have one of those two illnesses, and maybe I do. I have no earthly idea. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, and maybe I'll get a clean bill of health, or maybe, frankly, I can't even talking to you sometimes. I'm so confused. I'm just trying to understand your motivation. That's all.
Paul, there is no motivation except for the children, and I'm very concerned what's happening in our country. And yes, I have lost my job because of this, and I don't care, Paul, because I have to stand up for my truth, and it may not be your truth, but I'm standing up for the Constitution, the rights of others. And all these, Greg Sankey and all these people, they're not telling people the truth if they have a medical
exemption. One last question. Can you where in the Constitution, what case law, what amendment, Bill of Rights, what are you citing here as your basis for making this argument?
Okay, I think it's Section 1, 3. Oh goodness, you put me on the spot again. I'm not a constitutional lawyer.
It was not my aim to put you on the spot. I just, when somebody cites the Constitution, when you're talking about your constitutional rights, I just, usually there is a specific, the right to be, the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment.
Well,
there's usually
the
an amendment that you're going
well,
to cite to help support your
religion,
argument. If you were sitting there at the Supreme Court and Justice Roberts said, Mr. Christopher, I'm glad that, we're hearing your case, but, what law or which part of the Constitution, and you say, Mr. Chief Justice, I just don't know. Probably not going to go very well, as that call did not. Let's talk to Carol, who is up next. Go right ahead. Judge Carroll, I'm sorry. Judge, go right ahead. We here comes the judge.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
By the way, we need a judge right now after that last call.
Well, Paul, I'm just wondering if Christopher went to the same law school I went to, or the same medical school your wife went to at the moment, but that's not what I called in about. I had some thoughts on the pod system, and
sure.
Just to throw it out there, and I broke this down by geography. Pod one would be Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina. Pod two would be Tennessee, Georgia, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. Pod three, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. And pod four would be Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, and Missouri. And that's all done by geography. And, of course, you know, if you go to a nine-game schedule and you don't think those pods are fair, you could kind of even that out for the next four or five game, you know, conference games. So just a thought.
Yeah, Judge, I agree. I think geography is going to play a key, but ultimately it's going to be dictated by who you have to play every year. And I think most people could live with what you laid out. Hey, thank you very much for the call. The judge giving us a ring and at a very perfect timing of that. Let's take a break. The athletic director at the University of Arkansas will be joining us shortly, Hunter Yurecek, and we cannot wait for that. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, we are back here. Great to have all of you with us. We're 30 minutes in. Really looking forward to our next conversation with Hunter Yurecek, who, of course, is the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, thank you very much for the time. Great to have you. And how are you as we're getting ready for fall camp and the football season?
Paul, thank you for having me on. And first and foremost, I don't think I've had an opportunity to be on and congratulate you on your contract extension. So congratulations on that. And our football team reports officially tomorrow. I have our first team meeting and then practice on Friday. So the summer is over and very excited about getting the fall sports season underway here in Fayetteville.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. You know, it's hard to remember back 2 weeks to anything that happened before about this moment during media days when the news broke about Oklahoma and Texas, and we haven't had a chance to get your reaction, especially since you're in that territory out there. How do you feel about whenever it is, whether it's in 2025 or sooner, the addition of OU and Texas to the SEC?
Well, first and foremost, when you look at it from a Southeastern Conference perspective, it adds two historically successful programs to one of the strongest brands in college athletics, the Southeastern Conference. So it definitively strengthens our position as the leading conference in college athletics. From an Arkansas perspective, we regularly compete because of the proximity of our institutions with the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas. We have Texas on our football schedule this year. We have Oklahoma on our men's basketball schedule. We play midweek series with both of those institutions in baseball. Texas is an old Southwest Conference rival, and it makes a lot of sense for us. Our largest alumni bases outside of the state of Arkansas are in Texas, Oklahoma, and Missouri. And so it puts our fan base and our alumni base, it really just strengthens where we are in this region with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma.
And Hunter, certainly the questions that are being asked to us and everyone are really better questions asked to you and your colleagues, because at some point, maybe the process has already started, the conference will begin consulting with people like you to try to figure out the best way to move forward. And I'm asking you the same question we've been asked 1,000 times. What do you think it's going to look like in terms of schedule and permanent rivals when we get to that point?
I think we have an opportunity as athletic administrators in the Southeastern Conference to really take a blank canvas and look at our scheduling model and see how it can be most advantageous first and foremost for the Southeastern Conference, and then how it will work, whether that's regionally with each of our institutions. Because I think what makes conferences special is the ability of your fans to travel back and forth between institutions, and that's really what started conferences, and I think we have that opportunity now with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas in our region. And so we have had some very, very preliminary discussions and really, for lack of a better cliche, spitballing some ideas. But I think we will sit down as administrators and really take this blank canvas and make it advantageous for us moving forward.
Hunter, I'm not asking for proprietary information. I know you, all of you, men and women, want to sit together at some point and have a conversation about it, in addition to what's already happened. But what do you think, other than the big picture, will be the priorities for every different school, especially Arkansas, which, as you mentioned, has close proximity? You want to play your rivals, but you want to be mindful of a fair and balanced schedule as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. And I think one of the things, when you talk to student athletes on each of our campuses, one of the things they want to do is they want to have an opportunity during their 4 to 5 year career to visit each and every SEC campus, and for those fan bases to have an opportunity to visit your campus. And so I think that would be one of my priorities, not speaking for my colleagues, is that we look at a model that allows our student athletes the opportunity to talk specifically about football, to visit each SEC campus during the time that they're on your campus. And I think, you know, like we still won't, I don't know when the last time we've been to South Carolina. We went to Florida last year because of COVID, but there's some opportunities that our student athletes miss in playing in some very special and historic venues. And that would be one of my priorities, is to come up with a model that allows your student athletes to play in each and every SEC stadium.
We're talking to Hunter Yurecek. Hunter, I know how you and all of your colleagues, for that matter, feel about the commissioner, Greg Sankey, but it just seems, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, that he's almost become a convenient target, because as the commissioner of the SEC, he took that phone call, and I think you probably know what I'm talking about. Commissioners, college presidents, one college president today from Washington State even used the word predatory to describe the SEC as one of the 14 athletic directors in this league who all worked so closely together last year with the conference office to make sure we had a football season. What are your thoughts on some of these shots coming across the bow?
Well, I won't speak specifically to any of the comments. I'll speak to Commissioner Sankey, and he seems like he is always one step ahead. He is looking to the future, not only of the Southeastern Conference, but for college athletics in general. And he is positioning the Southeastern Conference to be a prominent leader in college athletics, and that's really what his role is. I mean, he reports to the Southeastern Conference presidents. Those are the men and women who hire him and sign his contracts, and they have charged him with making the Southeastern Conference the best athletic conference in all of college athletics, and he is doing that wonderfully. And yeah, I've got the utmost respect for him as a leader, and yeah, he's taking some shots right now, but he's taking some shots because he's doing some things that I think others wish they could do.
Let's talk a little bit about Arkansas before we go, and I know every game is important. You mentioned the Texas game the second week. I know how I'm sure that week you will not have time to answer your phone with everyone looking for tickets, but let's start with football. We had a great opportunity 2 weeks ago in Hoover to sit down with Sam Pittman as he gets ready for his second year. There's so much optimism about what is ahead. I'm curious your thoughts on just another year under Coach Pittman, and the excitement level building in Northwest Arkansas and across that state?
Yeah, we're really excited about Sam and the fact that he was able to have a spring practice this year, that he wasn't afforded that opportunity because of COVID this year, further kind of ingrained the culture that he's trying to create, where the coaches trust the players, the players trust the coaches, and the players trust each other. And it's just our team has taken the look of Sam Pittman, of just a hardworking blue collar, roll up your sleeves and let's just get the job done. And the excitement in Northwest Arkansas, Paul, is incredible. We're going to eclipse the 50,000 season ticket sales mark here between our general public sales and our student sales. We're less than 5,000 tickets away from selling out the Texas game. We haven't had a sellout here in quite some time, and that's because of the excitement that Sam Pittman has created and the excitement that our players created last year, going out and winning three, possibly four SEC games last year, competing down to the last minute on two more. We could have easily been 6-4 as we were 3-7. And our kids just went out and played hard. They believe in Sam Pittman. They believe in the staff that he has surrounded himself with and has really energized our entire state and gotten them excited about football again.
Hunter, before you go, and this is a question I really had hoped never to ask again, but unfortunately circumstances have changed. But a year ago, we had so many conversations with you and your colleagues about COVID, and it is back in the news again, front and center. It's on everyone's mind, and we are 4 weeks away from the beginning of college football season. What are your biggest concerns as we get closer to the season in relation to COVID?
Yeah, you know, I'm still optimistic that we'll be able to compete and have full seasons this year, but I would be lying to you, Paul, if I didn't tell you that I've had some concerns that have really come to the forefront again here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, for me, it's not a political thing. My number one responsibility as a director of athletics is to look out for the health, safety, and well-being of our student athletes. And the SEC Medical Task Force and some of the protocols they presented to us this time last year allowed us to have a very successful athletic season across the Southeastern Conference. And many of those protocols, because of some of the things that that are going on in our state, are not possible right now. And so I just want to be able to provide our student athletes with the opportunity to safely compete. And if that means wearing masks, that means wearing masks. If that means being vaccinated, that means being vaccinated. But this is not a political issue for me. I know it is a political issue across our country, but I'm just responsible for the safety, health, and well-being of our student athletes and the athletic department staff here at the University of Arkansas.
Hunter Yurecek, the Vice Chancellor and Athletic Director at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, thank you very, very much. We look forward to hopefully seeing you this year throughout the season, and it's always great to have you on.
Thank you very much for your time, Paul, and congratulations again on that contract extension. Let's not let that Texas-Oklahoma announcement overshadow your extension.
No, in fact, I had forgotten about it after 2 weeks ago when the OU Texas thing came out. Thank you so much for saying that. It's great to have you on. Hunter Yurecek joining us from Arkansas. We will take a break and come back with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back here. First hour of the program rolling along, and Brandon is up next in Virginia. Hello, Brandon. Thank you. Great to have you back.
Hey, Paul. I'm up here in Virginia Tech, ACC country, but I have been addicted to your show this summer. It's great.
Thank you very much.
Question for you. A lot of talk, a lot of things going on, a lot of talk about the NCAA going away this summer. There was a report, or Jay Billis was saying, on ESPN that he thinks that the power is going to go from the NCAA to the big power conference commissioners. What would happen if that happened? What would happen to the NCAA tournament?
Well, first of all, Brandon, I think that's already happened. I think the Power Five commissioners run the sport right now, and I think that's going to become even more pronounced after this constitutional convention in Philadelphia. Now, the tournament still has a contract with CBS and Turner, so I would imagine it's protected for the time being. But ultimately, without the NCAA basketball tournament, the NCAA really has no use to exist. It's a paper tiger, and I think more and more power will be usurped. And I realize they run baseball and all these other tournaments that have value, but they really don't have any enforcement teeth any longer, especially now that the sport has pretty much legalized money being given to players. So I don't think they have much use any longer.
So do you think the tournament is going to be reconstituted or somehow changed, or will it stay the same?
I don't know. I don't see any reason why it would change. Not to sound like everyone else, but it is a great venue. And, the NCAA can't even get it right now. I'm sure you saw the story yesterday about the disparity between the men's and women's tournament. I mean, how hard is that in 2021 to get that right when you have so little else to do? So for now, I think the NCAA is basically a clearinghouse. They make decisions on eligibility. They have no enforcement power because what are they going to do? If your quarterback at Alabama is making $1 million a year off NIL, you're gonna throw the book at them because some kid got a free T-shirt? No, it's not gonna happen. So I think it's just gonna be an evolutionary period where the power just completely evaporates, and the conference commissioners sit at a table like the five families of New York and decide everything.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, I don't mean they'll kill people. Not that I was suggesting that. I mean, I'm just that I saw a movie once where all that happened. I'm sure it's not true. Let's talk to Landry next in Mississippi. Hello, Landry.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Well, just LSU this year, I'm pretty sure it's going to shock the world.
Shock the world?
Yeah. Nobody's really high on them right now, and they got these good coordinators coming in. I think they'll be maybe 10-2, 11-1.
Okay. Well, they better be after last year.
Oh, yeah. Coach O, I think, is on the hot seat.
Well, I appreciate the report. RJ is up next in Kentucky. Hello, RJ. Good afternoon.
Hey. Do you think this year Mark Stoops can get Kentucky in second place in the East?
I think it's possible, yes. I think that's really an interesting battle. I think the program is well equipped to make a run at Florida. And, to me, they have to get past Florida. And I know a couple of years ago they beat them, but how many times has that game been a heartbreaker? So I think that's always the most critical game on the schedule.
Right. Well, I think this year he's done real good on recruiting, and they got some good quarterbacks. I just thought this year, this might be the year that Mark Stoops might get Kentucky in second place in the East, and maybe give Georgia a pretty good ball game down the road.
Well, I do think they have a chance. I believe that game is right after I'm trying to remember Kentucky's got a really good opportunity to win some game. It may be the Georgia game because of the way the schedule lays out. Anyway, we're up against a break. We have been through 1 hour on the program, a couple of crazy calls, mostly really good. We had Hunter Yurecek on with an update on Arkansas's view of not only the upcoming season with COVID, but the addition of OU and Texas. We have a lot more to do. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and many, many more guests as we continue right here. We're coming back after this.